Welcome to the show, everybody. This is the Valley Outdoors. We've got everybody here. Don's here.
I'm here.
Ava.
I'm here as well.
Yeah. We have a jam-packed several days. The opener is going on this weekend. It's going to be awesome. We've doing some broadcasting, etc. So we're going to be doing everything everywhere all the time. That's going to be us, and that's going to be the way this rolls for here and the Valley Outdoors. We're going to be right back. We're going to be having some little kind of fun walleye stuff. The top seven best walleye lures of 2024. Stay tuned for that. Coming right up.
Avid outdoorsmen know that heading to the field without all the advantages, not a good idea. Most importantly, a stable shooting platform. Having the right platform can be critical to success. Field Optics Research is the industry leader, offering the most advanced, lightest, and stable tripods on the market. It's stability you need when that once-in-a-lifetime shot is in your crosshairs. Field Optics, the ultimate tripod for hunting, shooting, long-range precision shooting, spotting scopes, and outdoor photography.
Links to Field Research Optics available on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Don, Ava, good to see you.
Yeah.
Good to be seen, right?
Always good to be seen.
It's the weekend, you guys.
A very important one for our community.
The weekend for Minnesota. The opener, quote unquote, the opener. Whenever you say, and that's what's funny about fishing opener. When you say, hey, where are you going for the opener? Everybody in Minnesota knows exactly what you're talking about.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, we're going up to the cabin.
Going north.
And if you're going to Wisconsin, you're going up to the cottage.
Right.
One little river dividing it changes the
verbiage,
the colloquial terminology.
Yeah,
is that crazy?
Cottage to the east, cabin to the west.
It's I don't know if it's a shack somewhere else.
I wonder what they are in Michigan, South Dakota.
I don't know. I was thinking shack, which when somebody says a shack, right away you know.
It's probably
electric.
Sleep six.
No.
I'm thinking it's sleep six, and it's got
so?
Three baths. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a three.
When my dad would go to the shack, it was like five guys in bunk beds in a single room.
That's what he told you.
No, I've seen it.
Oh. Okay.
This thing is it's a shed.
See, it could
be. It's literally a shack.
It can be. But more often than not, sometimes it's not. But nonetheless, hey, last weekend, I went to do a little boat rigging and whatever out at Port Washington, where a friend of mine and I we've got a boat out there. It's a 34-footer that we're going to be doing some fishing on, and salmon fishing. And we got to go out. We spent the day, one whole day, putting rigging downriggers, electric, you know, and it brings me back to rigging my
tournament boat,
past tournament boats. And, you know, I've got another one coming and it's going to be rigging that again. But I will say Vexus does a great job of rigging it, so I don't have to do much at all. It's all pretty much done. But, and it works. That's the other key piece. But you get in there, Don, I tell you what, it's at least there's room in a bigger boat to get around.
To run cables,
you know, you
and
open
wires
up the whole floor and you can crawl in and get to it. But it's still a chore and drilling holes, and you know, there's always that I'm drilling a 2-inch hole in the side of, you know, inside of the hull, what's on the other side of it.
You better hope not water.
No, well,
stay
the
with
one
the
hole. You know, we're drilling holes so we can have a plug in for the downriggers so we can take them off, unplug them when we want.
Well, what ends up happening is I'm drilling one hole, I get that in for a plug-in location, and then I drill the other one, and I keep going and going and going with this hole saw. What happens? There's a quarter-inch chunk of steel in the, or aluminum, I should say, behind that piece of fiberglass. Well, needless to say, if you buy a hole saw, you better make sure you buy a right one first, because we burned out the hole saw, bent the blades, and then I had to go get another one to make it work. So the trials and tribulations of rigging.
Rigging.
But
been there.
Nonetheless, we had a friend of ours who went out fishing with on Sunday for a couple hours and caught him. Let's just say that.
Are we going to have a few more stories this year about Lake Michigan?
A lot more stories about Lake Michigan.
Lake Michigan.
A lot
fishing.
Of stories about Lake Michigan. Right now, the coho are in thick.
They're in towards shoreline, aren't they?
They actually moved out. They moved out.
Oh, did they?
They're at 130 feet.
Okay.
So, but they're only, you know, they're down roughly 15 feet. So you run your downriggers at 13. You run your boards and your dipsies at that, you know, not very far out. And they were all snapping. Everything was going. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was fun. The average size is up this year on the coho, which is really nice. And it was really enjoyable.
Some good
we finished
eating.
Up the rest of the day. You know, we go off for a couple, you know, 2.5-3 hours. We got done and then came in and spent the rest of the morning and into the afternoon and finishing up all the rigging. And now it's a matter of putting the tackle in that boat and some final little tidbit things and getting that nailed down. But yeah, interesting. Nonetheless, a lot of fun and looking forward to having some more conversations about that. And
oh, I'm looking forward to going.
See that? How that enabled it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, got to hit this. This is a big one. The best 7 walleye lures of 2024. And we're probably going to get through, let's get through half and then we come back for another half. I think we'll do that. And so they have, you guys, this is the part that I just, it floors me when they come out with lists like this. And this is the main reason I want to bring it up.
Can I stop you for a second?
Yeah.
How many different walleye lures can possibly be made? I mean, just go into a major sporting goods store and you might as well take a dart and any package it hits, grab it.
Well, there are places that some baits work better.
So I'm real curious hot new ones are.
Well, and so here's the thing, and I think what we'll do is we'll just lead up to it and then we'll take a break and we'll come back. But the key piece to this is favorite based on what? The best walleye lure is based on what? And of course, it happens to be this is an example of this particular group's version, right? So it ends up being one of those things where how do you end up having a conversation saying it's the best when
has probably been used yet.
Who's it based on?
Right.
Well, no, it's been, and you'll see what it is. And there are definitely some that are really up there. I have to agree.
You're gonna
and
have to we'll cover talk this about when we why. Come back.
Yeah, and we are going to cover it when we come back. And so stay tuned. The 7 best walleye lures. Stick around. You're going to want to hear this when we come back. Stay tuned. Thanks for hanging in there with us, everybody. And we always like to have you guys check us out. Where are you?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Facebook.
On Facebook.
Got you there.
I got scared.
I never know where it's going to go, and I answered no on this one. Yeah, so
I don't think she had her mic on.
I don't think she did either.
No, I did, but she was... my goodness, I was not ready at all.
And on Facebook, The Valley Outdoors.
And on Facebook, of course. A lot of cool stuff. The interactivity going on. And, of course, this being the opener weekend, if you're looking at something to do, there's going to be the DNR. I'll have a ton of different activities that you'll see, as well as the what's going on? the governor's opener, Minnesota governor's.
Yeah, in Lake City, Minnesota.
Yep, exactly. So a little bit different topic, but nonetheless involving the outdoors. Lots that has gone on with youth sports involving archery, clays, hunter education, a lot of things that let's just say have been tried, people have been trying to block it in the administration, the current administration, and kind of frustrating, but nonetheless, some good news things I think that are going to come out of it. And one person that's at the forefront of this is a friend of the show, Mr. John Nelson. He is the USA High School Clay Target League president. And John, you just told me you had an order for some T-shirts. What was the number of T-shirts you're ordering again?
We had to order 28,500 tournament T-shirts today, and they all need to be done in 3 weeks. So someone's going to be busy.
Someone's going to burn a midnight oil getting those done. Ouch.
Yeah.
Don, what do you think about that?
Is that for the state tournament, John?
Yeah, it's that's for nationwide. Here in Minnesota for the state tournament, we got about 8,500 kids signed up for that. So that's okay. By far the largest segment within nationwide.
Well, John, you know, I alluded to it a little bit, and one of the things that we've covered a lot of has been what I consider to be, I'll put it this way, Don, I think you appreciate how I'm going to state this. Somewhat of an oversight with the current administration on how many people are participating in these various sports and programs that they decided to inadvertently, by virtue of, we read the words and the terminology wrong, kill them. The archery program in schools, hunter education in schools, and I think the clay target, I think teams were also affected as some funding was there as well. John? How frustrating can that be? I mean, that's just one element of it, but it's got to be frustrating.
Well, it's frustrating for an awful lot of people. I mean, obviously for me, but when we have, you know, tens of, in this state, in our league in particular, is 12,000 plus kids that are participating in Minnesota, where, you know, these type of decisions are affecting them, and it's infecting their school education community. And when you look at also what nationally went through within the archery program and those good folks and what they do there, I mean, that affects millions, you know, of kids. And why all of a sudden we've decided to target these young people who found a new interest in an outdoor sport is just beyond my wildest.
I agree. I think so that was one thing. They tried to kill it by killing funding by saying you can't have weapons in school, and they took it as a literal version until somebody stepped in and there was literally was an uproar and outrage, and that was reversed. And the latest one that I just talked to you about it earlier, and Don, you talked about it, they're trying to outlaw lead shot, which makes it financially restrictive because it costs so much to use steel shot in a any type of shooting sport, and they tried to eliminate that from the high school sports in an administration decision once again. But fill us in. You recently had some understanding of what had happened, and that's good news. What happened?
Yeah, so it's from the efforts that happened, and it really, you know, was. You know, just some efforts that happened up in Duluth to find some type of senator that, you know, was able to really author this bill and got a couple of co-authors with it, that they were able to target the league specifically and its participants in order to provide this lead-free ammunition ban. And it really was hidden underneath a bunch of other bills that were proposed. And thanks to some of our efforts with some of our colleagues down at the state capitol, is we were notified of this, and we were able to get that word out to our contingency, which is, you know, at least 20 to 25,000 families that have participated in this league, and really came together to fight this bill, and for many good reasons beyond what it was proposed as. And from what we understand today is it has not had a hearing in the committee, and it doesn't seems uncertain that this bill is even going to be considered. But you really don't know that until the session ends here in about a week and a half. So, but as far as we know right now, it's kind of been just staying at the committee level, not going anywhere else.
Well, and I think the big thing you'd mentioned when we had talked, that groundswell of support is coming from the community. It's coming from people that are writing their senators, they're writing their legislators, and they're saying, no, this is not acceptable. This is a crappy way to try and eliminate a sport. If we can't do it one way, we're going to try and eliminate it another way.
Yeah, I don't know if it's their intention to try to eliminate the sport. I think they're trying to do it for environmental reasons. Am I wrong?
Well, I think that would be an incorrect statement because they've been harvesting and pulling the lead from the trap ranges. So it's at a trap range. It's always been there.
No, I agree. I mean, but you can reclaim the lead that would be at
yeah.
it. But I think they're talking about hunting. As you well know, if you go out to South Dakota, different lands have you using lead or steel. But hunting is a lot different than clean target.
Absolutely.
You're shooting boxes of shot at a clay target hunting. I used one load in my turkey hunt this year.
And right. But again, Don, you have to realize they targeted the high school sports specifically.
Yeah.
Well, and that's ridiculous to say that. I think it's absolutely absurd. It's the same thing with trying to outlaw a semi-automatic weapon when you know darn well, Don, that a semi-automatic can be a shotgun, it can be a rifle, it can be... Okay, you know, so it's confusing at that point. But I think when it comes down to that restricted point, John, I think that's kind of bad news.
Do you know what their reasoning was for wanting to put that bill in place?
Well, Don, I mean, you're right. And what we have is we have legislative leaders that are making these type of decisions without conducting any due diligence prior. So I have numerous communications from some of these folks that really refer to eagles that are chewing on gut piles and talking about, you know, Raptor Center's data on who's dying as far as poisonous from lead. And they're making all these references that have nothing to do with recreational clay target shooting sports.
Right.
And then we have other groups that are claiming health hazards amongst these young people and that lead is poisoning the young people. But they're not medical experts, and they have no reference of medical data whatsoever when other leading authorities do. Even the CDC has recommendations of where level should be in young people, and there's no data to support what they've made claims. So, again, you know, we have a lot of people that are carrying torches and pitchforks, but they have no data to support the reasoning why, especially when it comes to the clay target shooting sports.
I think that... in my mind, is one of the biggest problems that we have today in our world of the outdoors. There's decisions being made. They're not based on science, whether it's a limit set at a various state level on a lake, or whether it's involving archery shooting sports or hunter education, or it comes down to this. And the lack of understanding and legislators thinking that they know is beyond my comprehension. And I'm glad that you guys were able to get that done. And I just encourage everybody, be aware of what's going on. Follow papers like the Outdoor News. They are on top of it. Follow and watch what's going on in the paper as far as those kinds of things. And be aware also that there are some things that are not being really put out there, Don.
Yeah, I mean, there's other things. I mean, they seem to want to put more restrictions, you know, Second Amendment restrictions on firearms and the safety law that they're proposing. I heard the senator and her proposal for it, and the first thing that went through my mind when I'm listening to this is she has no idea what she's talking about. You know, they're talking about having two safes, you know, one safe for your ammunition, one safe for your firearms. I mean, common sense says you keep your firearms so that they're not accessible by small children.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think that onus needs to go back on the parent if that's the case.
The ridiculous level of the legislators that have no idea or and who they're being advised by. John, I think that's the big thing that I'm really happy you guys are bringing to the table. The hunter education, the firearm safety. The education level. You don't. There hasn't been any injuries that I know of that I've heard of, John.
Has there been any incidents nationally of safety issues?
If you think about it, guys, we've put more than 250,000 student athletes through our program, and we've pulled the trigger more than 300 million times throughout the history of the league since 2007, and we've never had a reported injury. And so we're the safest sport in school.
See?
I mean, safety's always been the top priority. And when you look at facts and data, that is a fact that you can't argue with, period.
Right.
No, and John, that is, it goes without saying that you guys are amazing how you guys operate. If people don't know, you're competing virtually until the championship, right? And so a high school will compete on their home trap range, and they'll be competing, let's say, against somebody in Crosby, Ironton, and it may be in a different part of the state. And you compete virtually, so then you compare scores, whoever shoots the best, and you win that way. So it saves having to bus people back and forth to an event, and it really still gives the kids an opportunity, and it's equal opportunity. You've got boys and girls on the teams that are able to compete with each other and have, I mean, an amazing amount of success, and that's really cool. And plus, you're also taking everybody and enjoying the outdoors at the same time in a sport that you can advance lifelong.
See, I just want to, John, how many shots you said have been fired? 300 million?
300 million times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let that sink in, folks.
It's an astronomical number, and you have no injuries. And it goes to show you what causes things to happen.
And these are kids that are taught how to handle firearms. Yep. So
that's cool.
Well, and they are. And it's all, you know, thanks to these coaches, you know, and the team staff members that are on these teams that are helping these kids be safe.
Cool. John, again, thank you. Good luck this season. And good luck with those T-shirts, 25,000 of them.
28.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good one.
Have a great weekend. See
you. You too.
And we will be back with more Valley Outdoors right after this.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
Always fun talking to John.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
Enlightening.
Think about the quote he made there. 300 million rounds have been shot without an incident.
Without any injuries.
Yeah.
Not even, I mean, yeah. That says exactly what everyone that's an outdoorsman has talked about before.
Yep.
The proper handling.
If you're
trained, you
won't have an issue.
And how many people are handling a weapon? It's not like it's going to go chase after somebody.
I mean, quick story, then we got to get into your your hot fishing.
Yep, the hot fishing, seven top walleye lures at 2024.
Yeah, I was literally hunting with a nephew. I'm going to go back 10, 12 years. Unbeknownst to me, he hadn't gone through safety. I watched him jump a fence with a shotgun in his hand, and I said, whoa, we need to start from scratch here.
No, thanks.
So let's talk about hunting like guys like that. No.
Seven best walleye lures of 2024. So we talked about a little bit before we could talk to John. The funny part about this is many lures can come and go. Flatfish, same thing. It went away because there was things that were out there that
perform better.
Yeah, they say, quote unquote, right? So let's jump into it. They say, quote unquote, the best overall walleye bait, Northland Fishing Tackle Deep V Jig. Now, my personal feeling is I'm more of a VMC guy, and I'll go with a moon eye with a long shank and be able to put the minnow on, thread it on when you have short biting fish instead of putting a stinger hook on it. So I will do that because I know live bait in the opener generally will work quite well. And that's all good, right?
Okay.
I'm good with that.
All right.
You agree? Jigs are a big thing for the opener.
Jigs are probably the most popular.
Very much so. I'm a hair jig guy, so if you have a chance, throw a hair jig. By the way, I'm only going to say it once. Black hair is...
I was just going to say, you're not going to tell them what color. I'm black.
No, I'm not, yeah.
It's not a color.
No, it's the best. It's the best. Best for trolling, Rapala Down Deep Husky Jerk. So it provides a long wobble. But again, it's what is the bait fish that you're going to be, the forage base in your fishery.
So I bet you 10 out of 10 fishermen would tell you a shad wrap.
I know they would. Well, now here's the other one. Best budget lure for walleye, Berkley Flicker Shad Crankbait, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Well, it's good in certain bodies of water, and a Rapala may outperform because of the wobble, and there's a rattle in the Flicker Shad. They work great.
Yeah.
No question about it. But then don't forget, you have the Flicker Minnow. The Flicker Minnow also is a good one. And they now have the jointed. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the Rapala. You're dealing with the shad. There's jointed. Best swim bait. Swim baits are fun. Throw them in the shallows. Throw them out and retrieve. Simple, easy for inexperienced fishermen. It's easy to use. Works well. And walleyes do like them. That's the Z-Man Diesel Minnow Z. Best for rivers, Lunker City Finesse Fish. Best for spring, Custom Jigs and Spin, Authentics Pulsar. That's the plastic. And best for summer, Northland Fishing Tackle Pro Floating Harness. So it's a crawl harness. I like to make my own. That's just my personal preference.
I make my own.
And the best for fall is a Cicada. Now, I am not a blade bait guy. You can use blade baits if you want, but I prefer a jig and wrap. All year long, jig and wrap, have it in my box, have it rigged up all the time. And you'd be surprised the fish that will go after that. It's easy to work deeper areas as well. So, cool.
Do you know why flatfish don't work? They got so doggone many hooks on them.
They hook you, not the fish.
That's right.
Speaking of that, I'm glad we hooked you guys for this show. Glad to hear it. And we will be back next week with more Valley Outdoors. Hope you all have a fantastic opener. Be safe. Talk to you soon.